Well, good morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. The third chapter of that wisdom literature from the Old Testament, the Hebrew hymnal, if you will. I want to talk to you this morning about the seasons of life, that there is a season. That will be one of the preeminent phrases we look at. There is a season, but also the phrase, a time to be born. And in our time together through God's Word, I want to show you biblically that life, the sanctity of life, is close to the heart of God. And I will defend that and show you that beyond a shadow of a doubt to show you where God's heart is at. There is a season, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We will start in verses 1 and 2, and then we'll read various portions of God's Word. Primarily in the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon, the wisest among us. If you've read the book of Ecclesiastes, you ask yourself, what's the point of reading that book? You find yourself at the very beginning, one of the preeminent phrases Solomon says is vanity of vanities. And let me summarize the book to you. I suggest you read it. Life without God is meaningless. And the only way to find meaning and authenticity in life is to have a relationship with God. Vanity of vanities. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, let's get to verses 1 and 2. For everything, there is a season. And a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, and a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. We will focus on there is a season and the phrase, a time to be born. I'll handle that somewhat grammatically. And then logically, but most important, biblically. There is a season. Now, in chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, Solomon breaks off in poetic prose. It's also that hit from 1959. Some of you were there. I was not. By the birds, turn, turn, turn. How many of you remember that great song? Yeah. If you don't know that song, look it up on YouTube. And by the way, they didn't write it, the Holy Spirit did, but they got credit for it. Solomon gives us this great examination of life, wrestling with the intricacies, but dealing with it in general terms and polar opposites. And I want to focus on life. Choosing life, protesting on behalf of life is not a hot topic issue. It's not hate speech. It's a biblical conviction. Why is that? Because it's close to the heart of God. And on Sanctity of Life Sunday, as best we can, we try to talk about it. If voters' polling results are any indication of what is on the future, abortion is a major issue amongst voters. You say, well, the Supreme Court handled that on a federal level. I don't care about the Supreme Court. We have a higher lawgiver than that. And the fight is maybe not necessarily on the federal level, to the best of my understanding. Now the fight is on the grassroots level, on the state level, with outside sources going after the states. So it may be gone from the federal level, but now it's very personal for us where we are. We have a very conservative state. We're in a conservative area. However, abortion is not God's will. I'll be very clear in that. It's not hate speech. It's not a hot topic. I don't understand how a Christian can settle for that. Because God has already settled this issue biblically. It's very clear to me. And I want to give you four observations why it is so. And by the end of our time together, there is no absolute argument for murder. Because that's what abortion is. Now, we can sugarcoat that and say, well, that's pro-choice. No, it's horrendous. It's despicable. At the very fabric of our relationship with God, he has hated bloodshed from the early pages of Genesis all through Revelation. And I want to show you four observations that there is a time to be born. Number one, that's the first observation. There is a time to be born. Ecclesiastes says in verse 1 in chapter 3, for everything there is a season. And in verse 2, there is a time to be born. God has set aside two special appointments, seasons and times. And in verse 2, point A of that, he has appointed a time for birth. Now, in seasons, in times, those are measurements of chronology. Those are measurements of events, happenings, circumstances, sequences, occurrences. But let's start with seasons. God has given us, in general, generic terms, seasons. One of my favorite seasons, hunting season. When they say it's legal to hunt whitetail deer, which, by the way, have you noticed that all the deer have come back out after season is legally over? And we preface that with legal, ethical, abiding by the laws of the land. I love seasons. I love football season. We're still in the midst of that professionally. You know what also we're in right now? Winter. I don't know if you know that. Last week, right before service, first service, they said, Pastor, it's negative four right now. And then by second service, we made it to 2 degrees. Like, Pastor, I just want to let you know, we made it to 2 degrees. I thought, man, this is great. Yesterday, I walked out of a gym watching my daughter play volleyball, and it was 25 degrees, and I looked to another desk and said, man, it feels pretty good out here. Aside from the wind, of course, we are in the midst of winter. Now, when the seasons change, there's notable differences we can observe with the eye. We have the feeling, the observation. We know seasons are changing, and there's distinct seasons. God has appointed, in general terms, the changing of seasons. There's different seasons of life. But also, in verse 2, there's not a general term of season, but a specific appointment, as in time. And God says through Solomon, by way of the Holy Spirit, there is a time to be born. Now, in chapter 3, he gives the polar opposites, the two guardrails on this road. He does say, yes, a time to be born, also a time to die. But in a special designation, he says there is a time to be born or a time to give birth. And those are special days. October the 12th is special. April 26th and August 13th. Why are those special? Because those are my kids' birthdays. He said, Pastor, I'm glad you could remember that. I wrote them down in my notes just in case. Because sometimes they catch you off guard. We go to the ER admissions room and they say, when is your child born? Ask my wife, I forgot. How'd you forget? I don't know. She just caught me off guard. Those are special days to me. I'll never forget. On a personal level, but let me explain it on a biblical level. God, the Holy Spirit, through Solomon says, there is a time to be born. Those are memorable days for me. Those are my kids. Those are days in which I celebrate life. When my wife and I had our children, those are momentous occasions. And almost everyone in their right mind has that mentality of positivity for new life. Now, if you don't like babies and people celebrating families, you're unstable mentally. Let me just be clear in that. My wife, when we were living in Memphis, she worked at Christian Brothers University, and she was expecting our firstborn, Abram. Everyone was so excited. in her workplace, which is it was a Catholic university, but it was very secular in the workforce. Most of them were so excited, were so happy, your first child, your lives are going to change, you'll love it, you'll be great parents, it'll be a wonderful family. Except one man who I never met him. My wife said he is just an old grouch. Didn't want to talk about kids, didn't care about pregnancy. So my wife and her other coworkers, with the exception of this man, said, I have a plan to prank him. And so my wife was very pregnant. She worked until she could get let off of work. And she knew this is where he worked, and she got a wet sponge, and she put it between her knees, and she said, guys, I'm going to act like my water broke in front of his desk. I knew about this after the fact, but I would have said, yes, go for it. And so she did that. She acted like she had to give him some paperwork, and she squeezed the sponge. The water fell, and she said, I think my water broke. And the man, who could make nothing more than negative responses and comments, had no words. He just mumbled and said, how do I help you? He got taught a lesson about what? About life, about birth. And I will say, going to visit people in the hospital can be a taxing ministry, with the exception of those who just gave birth. It's interesting, in visiting hospital rooms, you think, where are they at? And then I'm speaking in general terms, and I don't think of anybody in here. When we give birth, we decorate our rooms at the hospital. They put out door hangers. They put stuff on the walls. It's like a party. That didn't happen in regular hospital visitation. I go in, it's joyous. Sometimes people take pictures of the people that come and visit. Hey, sign my book. Here's a candy, or here's a bubblegum cigar. No real cigars. They have refreshments after a child is in the hospital room. In the first church I pastored, we didn't have a lot of communication with people, so I have to go, and they say, you make sure you get the full name of that baby, how tall, how long that baby is, and the precise weight. We got to put that in the bulletin. People got to know. And lo and behold, if I came back, I'd be in trouble with Miss Roseanne. People got to know. And when people have babies, and I'm speaking about my family too, we have special outfits. When you go home from the hospital, we don't do that in other terms of being sick. Like, oh, I just got my appendix removed. I'm taking antibiotics. Look at this outfit I'm going home in. But man, when my kids came home, they were looking good. Why is that? Because there's a time to be born. It's very different. It's not the same as a time to die. Solomon gives us two opposites. There is a time to be born. I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 1, talking about the seasons and the times. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 through 18, I want to show you about seasons and times. God said, let there be light in the expanses of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars, and God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Let me give you the second observation I see biblically about life and building this argument. Number two, creation belongs to God. I'm not impressed with that point either, but creation belongs to God. I want to build this up to prove the point that God created everything. In verse 1, it says God created the heavens and the earth. On the fourth day, he created the celestial bodies, and in doing so, put things in orbit into the process that brought on seasons. And these seasons change throughout the years. There's different days. The sun and the moon, the celestial bodies are all put in place. All of that belongs to the Creator, to God. On the sixth day, He created humankind. Genesis chapter 1, just down a few verses, in verses 26 and 27. And then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, speaking of the Trinity, and let them have their dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. All of creation belongs to God. Everything in the created order belongs to our Heavenly Father. The seasons, the times, and even the issue of gender, which I just cannot believe we are arguing or trying to talk about. We have so many genders now. This week, so-called experts that I referred to, which means went to a secular university and have some secular degrees that I'm not impressed with, they said we could have over 100 genders now, currently. It's mind-boggling. I think we can do whatever we want to do. In 2020, there was an actress by the name of Ellen Page. She now says she is Elliot. She changed her name. She had some procedures done. I read an interview she gave about, I'm not who I used to be, but this is who I am now, and that's who I'm supposed to be. She said, that's me, and she had some stuff done. She had some physical procedures. She had some mental things. She's on medication. They believe that the issue of gender, and there's other issues that say it's fluidity, that things change, or we can make it to whatever we want it to be. So the creation of man, to me, is settled biblically. God has said, here is creation, male and female. I've created it, created you in the image of me. And just like the celestial bodies, all of creation, as I designed it, it is good. Why is that? Because He created it. It belongs to Him. That's His handiwork. How dare we say, we come in and say, listen, I know this is the traditional patriarchal way of doing things, but now things are fluid. We can change it. Who has the final say in creation? It's not any of us. It's not me. It's not you. We cannot challenge God on what belongs to God. You say, well, Pastor, what belongs to God? All of creation belongs to God. It's His handiwork. He created it. It's His signature. Whether it's male or female, as mankind or humankind, or it's seasons or times, all of that belongs to God. There is a season, there is a time to be born, and that belongs to God, not to man. There's no fluid issue in my understanding of Scripture. But let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is a time to be born, and creation does belong to God. But let's go back to the main text we looked at. For everything, there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted. In building this argument, here's the third observation for life. God has appointed birth within creation. You say, Pastor, you're building an ironclad argument, aren't you? You already said all of creation belongs to God and birth is within creation. Yeah, but it's going to get worse than this. God has appointed birth within creation in verse 2, point A. He says there is a time to be born. There is a time to give birth. That is the celebration of life. God has appointed seasons. God has appointed times. He's appointed times for life and times for death. And let me point out in chapter 3, as Solomon writes that, He's giving two ends of the spectrum, two separate times for every issue. There is a time for life, and it is not a time for death. Two separate instances. And by the way, in verse 2, when it says a time to be born, a time to die, that word die does not mean murder in the Hebrew. Life is not the same as death. Death is not the same as murder. And you say, well, what about killing? Pastor, you're not touching on verse 3. Yeah, I can if I need to. Verse 3 does say there's a time to kill and a time for healing. But it's certainly not the same as a time to be born. You say, well, I don't like what that says. Fair enough. Are you going to argue that with God? Can we really say, God, I don't like the way you ordered creation to be. I don't like the way you brought on some cold last weekend. That was rough. I don't like the way those seasons happened, God. I don't like the way you created man and female. Can we find fault with God, the Creator? That was the issue of Job, by the way, in searching for the issue of suffering and trying to explain it. Job ignorantly said, it's probably up to God. He's probably behind all this nonsense. And then God the Father, in Job 40, drops the hammer on Job, theologically speaking. He's already beat down physically, but he's about to be beat down spiritually. Can we find fault with God? Bring up the text, Job 40, verses 1 through 8. And the Lord said to Job, shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it. And then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once, and I will not answer twice, but I will proceed no further. And then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Will you even put me in the wrong? Will you condemn me that you may be in the right? You see, we have no contention with the Creator. We got nothing to say against him. I heard about an interaction with an author. She was giving a response to a fictional novel she wrote, rife with symbolism, with imagery, and she was taking questions from the audience. And people looked for deeper meaning in everything and wanted to put her on the spot. And someone said, well, what was the significance of that lady's hat in this book? And she said, to place it upon her head. It was her creation. Therefore, outsiders had no contention with it. We cannot fault God. We cannot blame God and say, well, we don't like what God has done. We find ourselves in the same predicament as Job when we say, God, we don't like that. There's certain things we don't like. There's also things we can't deny. We can't deny the changing of seasons. We cannot deny in just a few short weeks, months perhaps, we'll see the changing of winter to spring. We can't deny that. And we also cannot deny that there is a time to be born. Just as we see the elements changing in the seasons, we see birth coming about, the time of maturity to give birth, the changing physically. We have to realize this, for everything there is a season. Not just seasons naturally. There are seasons of life we're going into. Some of you are in different seasons of life. You just retired. You're empty nesters. Some of your kids have gone to college. Some of them have gone to junior high. We're in a new season of life called a new year for an insurance deductible. We're in a new season. For everything, there is a season, and within that general term, there is a time to be born. There is a time for life, and all of this is a part of God's plan. Some of this, at times, is hard to understand and to grasp, and that's why Solomon said, vanity of vanities. Sometimes, dear church, guests, sometimes life does not make sense. But we have this word of God that says there is a season for everything. The Creator has designed it as such. And in that, within the creation, there is a time to be born. Let me give you the fourth observation. We must align ourselves with God. I don't need a supporting verse for this, based upon Ecclesiastes 3 and Genesis 1, Job 40. Here's the observation. We've got to side with God. We can't fight against Him. We must align ourselves with God. We either believe life and birth is sacred and appointed by God, or we find ourselves striving, contending, finding fault against God. Now, knowing God and His Word shapes the way we live. It shapes the way we view the world. Everything. And since life is sacred, we must align ourselves with God. And because life is sacred, because it's biblical, it changes the way we live and view things. It also changes the way we vote. And I don't have to tell you who to vote for. The Holy Spirit can do that. And when we say it changed your political views, be very careful what you read and be very careful if you sign something. It changes the way we treat people. Because if life is sacred, it's not just birth. It's through the course of the years we view life as sacred. Every person we run into is made in the image of God. They hold the signature of our Creator. And we must align ourselves with God. We live differently because of this. We support things that He supports. You say, well, I'm not going to be an activist. Well, I'm not asking you to, but I'm going to say this, be a Christian. Hold Christian values. Vote for things that are Christian. Support things that are Christian. Here's how you can do this, how you can align yourselves with God. You can pray. Pray for ministries, one of which is CareNet, that supports the sacredness of life. Pray for ministries like that. Pray for, there's a lot of legal teams defending life and pursuing the next steps in life. And to my understanding, it's going to be on the state level, so it'll be very personal for us. Pray, you can give. Now, I'm not saying just, hey, throw money at something. Support it financially, but if you want to give, give of yourself. Help a ministry like CareNet. Or if you know if someone's struggling with the issue, should I keep my baby? Point them to God. The head coach, currently the head coach of Michigan, Jim Harbaugh, is devout in this issue of life. And he's taken heat on that. He just won a national championship. But when he gets to heaven, I don't think God will be like, I'm so impressed with that championship, Jim. But something he told his players in a meeting, he is a staunch supporter of the pro-life movement. He told his players, if any of you and your significant other are facing the issue of life, if your girlfriend or your wife is pregnant, if you want to give up that baby, my wife and I will adopt them. He said that in a players' meeting. It means he's got some traction to his faith, that he's willing to do something about it. So it's not just pray and give. Those are very safe. But what would it happen to be for us if we said, you know what, I'll foster, I'll adopt. Those may be issues facing us. Now, I know the legal system, the foster system, is harsh. I know that within our church family. I know that within my personal family, my brother and his wife fostered. And that's a hard road of turmoil. But if we really believe that life is sacred, we're going to vote differently, we're going to live differently, we're going to pray and give differently. And I really want to bring you to this point that life is not just a political issue, not even a physical issue. The issue we see before us is a spiritual issue. In Genesis 4 through 36, there was this odd abnormality of women who could not conceive. They were considered barren. At the right time, God allowed them to have children. They prayed about this. Sometimes it was a punishment. Sometimes it was a withholding of God's blessing. Unusual. Verse 21 of chapter 25, Isaac prayed for his wife to conceive. There was a time there when she could not have a child because they saw that as a spiritual blessing. Isaac prayed, and at some point she conceived. It's not just a political issue. It's not just a physical issue, church family and guests. It's a spiritual issue. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. To touch off Ecclesiastes 3 about there's a time to be born. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. And then down in verses 13 and 14, the end of the matter all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. We must align ourselves with God. After observing what we see in Scripture, God's holy word, we come to the conclusion that all of this belongs to God, and we have to make a choice whether to follow him, align ourselves with him, or to withstand him. In the words of Solomon in that 12th chapter, the final chapter of Ecclesiastes, he says, remember your Creator. And we just said all of creation belongs to God. Birth is within creation. Therefore, all of this is his. So remember your Creator as you vote, as you give, as you read, as you sign. Remember your Creator. I don't expect you to remember this sermon. Next week, we're going to forget it. I'll forget it. If I didn't write it down, I would not remember it. But here's something you won't forget, your Creator. Remember your Creator, who designed everything, every season. He had special appointments on his calendar of birth. Maybe it's not just remember your Creator. Maybe it's start a relationship with the Creator. That we, like Adam and Eve, have fallen. We have disobeyed a righteous God. We've exalted ourselves, and that's still the problem of humankind now, and said, we're going to do it our way. And God says that the end thereof is death, for the wages of sin is death. But God sent his Son, the Creator, sent himself, God the Son, to pay our sin debt that we could have a relationship with our Creator. The one who designed us, who has all the rights and authority. He's got his copyright written on our hearts, and he wants us back. If you believe in your heart that God the Son died on the cross for your sins, if you give him your faith, if you repent, if you turn as best you can, God will bestow upon you a freedom from the sin debt. We call it salvation. So it's not just remember your Creator. Start a relationship with the Creator. Maybe there's some steps of the faith that God has placed upon your heart to make. Maybe there's some issues weighing heavy on you. In the time we will have a song and a time to respond, and that would be the time that where you're at, you can pray. You can spend time with God there. If you'd want to come and pray with me or others, we'd love to do that. Or maybe after hearing God's word, you think, I've got to do something. I've got to get involved. There's a spark there that will not be quenched. God, I've got to do something. We'll do it because it belongs to him. But find out what God wants you to do. Maybe not just this moment, but throughout the week or the weeks to come, to think, how can I get involved where God is working? If you need to make a change, if you need to make a response, if you need to pray a prayer, now's our time. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for the time before us. We thank you for the seasons of life that point us back to you. And Father, within that, a time to be born. And Father, we thank you for those who have gone before us that have chosen life. May we, as believers, hold that same value. Lord, may we be Christians. May we just hold the values you show us. Nothing more, nothing less. But may it transform the way we live, the way we give, the way we pray, the way we communicate. Father, this may be a hard day for many that have made some hard choices in life. They've made decisions that can't be taken back. Father, through your Spirit, would you give them grace? But Father, may we be advocates of life. Father, if someone needs to be born again today through Jesus Christ, may they trust in him, whether listening online or in person. Father, would we do business with you? If there are steps in our faith to take, may we do that. Father, bless us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.